Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish, speaking from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wind rings. And if you're a Memphis football fan, I hope you didn't start celebrating a little too prematurely on Friday night, because that was a rough one, Big Bet Bennett. It was an all-timer.
Yes, it was.
That was some kind of collapse. You thought the Cardinals collapsed on Friday afternoon. I mean, they did. You're right. The Cardinals did collapse on Friday afternoon, but the Tigers might have one-upped them on Friday night. Took a victory, turned it into a defeat, and now people are asking all kinds of questions about all kinds of things. We'll talk about it here in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 420 Wes Rucker is going to join me. Covers the Tennessee Vols for GoVols 247. Massive win for Tennessee at LSU this past weekend. Big opportunity for Tennessee against Alabama this weekend. Knoxville should be popping on Saturday. I'll talk to Wes Rucker about it in the next segment. Finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 444, which one we'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Major League Baseball playoffs are down to just 8 teams. Mets are no longer alive. I've had better weekends, Bennett.
Yeah, man.
We'll talk baseball around 444. Draymond Green spoke publicly for the first time this weekend about the punch he threw at Jordan Poole in a practice last week. He remains separated from the team, Draymond Green does. Get you updated on that story a little later on this hour. Bronny James is the latest amateur athlete to get a Nike NIL deal. I'll give you the details on that just before 5 o'clock. And the Grizzlies had their open practice this weekend. It's a reminder that opening night, next week, right around the corner. We'll talk Grizzlies during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with Memphis football because, man, that was quite the turn of events for Memphis football on Friday night. Things were going beautifully, Bennett.
They were going really well, yeah.
The Tigers were seemingly in complete control. And then before you could really even grasp, or at least before I could even really grasp what was happening, they lost the game at home to Houston, 33-32. Memphis lost despite leading by 14 points in the first quarter, by 19 points in the fourth quarter, by 16 points with 7:48 remaining, and by 13 points with 78 seconds left. Up 13 points with 78 seconds left. How do you lose a football game when you're up 13 points with just 78 seconds remaining, Big Bet Bennett?
I really don't know.
It's like, hard to do.
Like I was at FedEx Forum for the Grizzlies game, and we all had it on radio or like on everybody's computer and on our phones and stuff. And like you know, towards the, like, you know, when the fourth quarter rolls around, you're kind of just half paying attention. Like by that point, it's like, oh, they got this. Like, you know, and so you're just and I think probably the 100-yard kickoff return was where it was like, let's get going. Let's get back into this.
There wasn't a moment I thought they were going to actually lose until they didn't recover the onside kick. And I was like, oh, wow, they are going to really screw this up.
Yeah, when the onside kick
all the other stuff happened, I'm like, you know what? This is weird, and this is getting closer than it should have been, but it's fine.
Yeah, like even the 100-yard kickoff return, it was still 29-13, and the Tigers kicked a field goal after that. So you still like have a bit of a cushion. It's 32-19 at that point. But yeah, when the onside kick recovery happened, and they still, listen, Houston still had to go 50 yards to win the game.
Yeah, they had no problem doing that.
But dude, at that point, yeah, when the onside kick happened and they recovered, it was like, oh, they're going to win. Yeah.
At one point, the win probability was 99.9% for Memphis. By the way, do you believe in these win probabilities? We talk about them all the time when they come up in NBA games or, you know, college football games, NFL games. It's like, at that moment, the win probability was 99.9%. I'm not sitting here trying to discredit win probabilities. I'm just saying that it feels like I see a whole bunch of 99.9% win probabilities lose. Like, if it's really 99.9%, it shouldn't be losing that often.
No. As somebody that plays fantasy football and those are always, like, popped up on your little app, the win probability, that means nothing to me.
Yeah, I feel like they're just
always in projected to win.
Listen, I was never good at much. Among things I was never that great at is math. So I'm willing to defer to the geniuses on this stuff, right?
Yeah.
The math geniuses on this. I'm just saying, on a surface level, from a distance, from a person who doesn't understand numbers so perfectly, just seems like they're off a little bit.
I think so. I don't think you can put 99 point. I don't know, though, man. That seems like that's about as good of a chance you have to win a game as Memphis did.
Well, here's the stat that I will put something in, because I think there's no getting around this. You probably saw it on Friday night floating around. ESPN Stats and Info did the research on it. FBS teams this season were 129-0 when leading by 19 or more points in the fourth quarter until Friday night, when Memphis was leading by 19 points in the fourth quarter and lost to drop that record among FBS teams this season to 129-1. In the final 8 minutes of that game, and let me stop here for a second because you said something that's interesting. You're at FedEx Forum. It looks like Memphis is in control.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you got non-quarterbacks throwing strikes into the end zone. It looks like you're going to blow Houston out.
Yes.
You said you're at FedEx Forum, and you're kind of like not even fourth quarter. You're not even really paying attention.
No, I mean, we're looking at it, but, like, yeah, they got this thing in hand.
Okay, so Jeff, when he was talking about it this morning, sort of said something similar. Like, the fourth quarter is happening literally right in front of him. He's in the press box. But he's working. He's writing a column. Not even really watching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at home. I've obviously been watching a few different things. Mets, Padres on a TV. I got Memphis Houston on a TV. But it got to the point where I stopped glancing at the Memphis-Houston TV because, like, the game's over.
Right.
So let me focus on this other thing. And then you look up and it's like, whoa, hold up. What's happening? What just happened? Final 8 minutes, Houston, you ready for all this? Had a 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. This is all in the final 8 minutes of the game. Had a 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Converted a 4th-and-11 at its own 24. To keep a drive going, and converted a 4th-and-7 at the Memphis 26 to keep a drive going that eventually led to a touchdown. Also recovered an onside kick, and then after doing that, went 49 yards in 59 seconds to take the lead with another touchdown and PAT. Houston only scored 7 points in the first three quarters, scored 26 in the fourth. It's ridiculous.
It was so depressing. I mean, it just was. Like, I mean, I told you how much I can't stand Houston. Like, I wanted them to get that one so bad. It was just, it was depressing all around. So and you could see it in people's faces on the TV broadcast when they were doing, like, crowd shots. Like, everyone was just like, what?
Well, you go from, like, this is awesome. Like, boy, not only are you about to beat Houston to improve to 5-1 overall, 3-0 in the American. But you're blowing them out on national television on Friday night.
Yes.
It's one thing when you are tweeting about Memphis football and I'm tweeting about Memphis football because we have connections here. It's another thing when Nicole Auerbach is tweeting about Memphis football.
That's
Chris
right.
Vanini is tweeting about Memphis football. And Pete Thamel is tweeting about Memphis football. Like, folks were watching Memphis on Friday night because it was one of the few college football games on television. And Memphis was performing for three quarters brilliantly, a way that must have made people who don't follow the program very closely because they don't live here, it must have made those people go, oh, Memphis is still, oh, I see Memphis must be,
yeah.
Memphis has still got it.
And
Memphis
gonna,
is still good.
And it was going to be a big middle finger to Houston on their way out to the Big 12.
And then it just went the wrong way.
Yeah.
Ooh. So when I was pulling in the studio today, got here a little early today. I don't know if you noticed. I've been here for a little while today. I pulled in the studio. My little buddy, John Martin. You know John Martin, right?
I do know John, yes.
He was pulling out. So we crossed paths. And John and I, we don't cross paths too often. Mm-hmm. You know, he's usually out of here right around 2 o'clock, and I don't usually get here till around 3:58. And so we were crossing paths, and I felt compelled to see how he was doing. He is my little buddy, after all.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? How you been? He's peppering me about the Mets. Told him I'd be all right. He said, so what are you going to say today? I said, about Memphis football? He said, yeah. And I said, I don't know. I'm still mourning the Mets, trying to get my thoughts together. He said, you're going to say everybody should be fired? I said, I'm probably going to stop short of saying everybody should be fired. He said, you're going to say? He started giving me a lot of options. He wanted me to pick something.
Mm-hmm. Pick a side.
Told him I wasn't ready to pick a side.
Don't ride the fence.
I told him I didn't feel like I was in a place where I could start picking sides right now. Because I really, yeah, you can point some fingers at some different moments in that game if you want to. Calling the timeout late, going for two early. If you want to, like, really pick everything apart, you can find some stuff in there. But I don't think there was anything outrageous from a decision-making standpoint that happened in that game. Nothing crazy. This ain't like Nathaniel Hackett in week one with Russell Wilson. Although, in fairness, what we now know about Russell Wilson, maybe you don't put the ball. Maybe you do kick the field goal from a million yards away and don't put the ball in Russell Wilson's hand. We didn't know at the time. I didn't think there was anything like this. Again, there's a couple things you can highlight and yell about if you want to, but I just felt like the whole thing kind of just it just happened. I don't really. I know Ryan Simpelbeard said after the game, like, blame me, pin it on me, and I guess we can. He is the head coach, but like I guess as I went back and watched it, read everything there is to read, went through the play-by-play multiple times. I can't really look at that and go, well, this is where they just screwed up. As much as I look at it and go, I can't believe all this stuff happened.
Yeah.
That led to lose the game.
Right. I mean, it's one of the – I think that – I mean, the one excuse you could make is that the whole entire team, coaches, everybody, felt like that lead was almost insurmountable, and so you just had that thing in control, right? And so you just quit playing, you know?
But here's the thing. You know why they felt that way? Because it's true.
Judging by the 99.9% win probability.
The game should be over.
That's right.
You know why they felt like the game was over? Because the game was should have been over.
Right.
Games like that are almost always over. Evidence being that the win probability, for whatever it's worth, was 99.9% at one point, and the second Memphis was up 19 in the fourth quarter. They were on the right side of a pattern that in this season was 128-0. So it's like, oh, well, Memphis thought they had the game wrapped up. Well, based on all of the numbers, they did have the game wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're up by 19 in the fourth, you're 128-0 this season at the FBS level. At one point, the win probability is 99.9%. Clearly, the game wasn't over. They lost it. But do you know how many things have to go wrong for you to lose that game? Like, you can make multiple bad decisions and still win that game. Like, a kickoff return of 100 yards, converting two fourth downs, in it. Recovering an onside kick. These are all low probability things that all happened to Memphis in an 8-minute span. I don't know that it's a reflection on anything other than sometimes wild things happen in sports, and on Friday night they happen to Memphis. So I don't know what the big takeaway is today other than to say, well, that was disappointing and deflating and wild to watch. The big takeaways, whatever they might be, I think come later and depend on what happens next.
Yeah.
What happens next? Because instead of 5-1 overall, 3-0 in the league, you're now 4-2 overall, 2-1 in the league. You took a win and flipped it into a loss. That's rough. Now, how do you respond from it? Because next up is at East Carolina, where you are a 5-point underdog. After that, at Tulane, where Massey Ratings projects you as a 3-point underdog. After that, UCF at home, where Massey Ratings project you as a 3-point underdog. It's one of my favorite simple/stupid things that coaches say. It's always stuck with me. It's kind of dumb, but it's like also completely true, and I get the point of it. I had a basketball coach say to me one time that the worst loss is when you lose a game you were supposed to win right before you're supposed to play one that you're supposed to lose, because that's how you get losing streaks. You're supposed to win this one, but you lost it. Now you're playing one you're supposed to lose. Well, if that one goes the way it's supposed to go, now you just lost two straight. Memphis just not only lost a game it was supposed to win, they lost a game it had won. And now they're about to play three straight that they're supposed to lose. It could really flip into a 4-game losing streak very easily. And if it does, or anything close to that, well then, yeah, you'll look back at what happened this past Friday night and say that was the turning point in the season. That's where it all started to go wrong, final 8 minutes of the Houston game. But if they come back and go 2-1 in this 3-game stretch, or, oh boy, 3-0 in this 3-game stretch, well, then you'll look back at that Houston game and you know what you'll think. You won't think that's where it all went wrong. You know what you'll go? You'll go, man, we could be 8-1 if we didn't have blown that Houston game.
Right.
Just depends on what happens next. I don't think what happened in the final 8 minutes of that game is an indictment of anybody or anything as much as it's just sometimes wild things happen, and a bunch of wild things happened in a very short amount of time to take a game that was basically wrapped up and flip it to Houston. You could go back and replay the final 8 minutes of that game 100 times, and Houston would never win it again. But the only time that mattered was Friday night, and so if you're a Memphis fan, you walked out of the stadium probably a little deflated and also a little confused. Talk more about it with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. Wes Rucker on the Tennessee Vols. He's up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menace. So it wasn't a bad weekend for all college football teams in the state of Tennessee. Yeah, the Tigers squandered a big lead late on Friday night, but on Saturday, Tennessee went to LSU and won 40-13. The Vols are now 5-0 overall, 2-0 in the SEC, up to number 6 in the AP poll. Wes Rucker covers Tennessee, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show, Big Interview on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So, Wes, I know Tennessee was a slight favorite in Baton Rouge, but still, I think it was a little surprising to watch them go down there, jump to a 13-0 lead, and really dominate from start to finish. I say surprising, at least from an outsider's perspective. Were you surprised at all at the way the Vols handled LSU? No problem.
In a word, yes, I was. I picked them to win, but I just, you know how that stadium is, and you know, LSU had won 4 games in a row and was playing, just finding a way to win. And in that environment, that's always a tough place to go. I didn't expect them to win like that, especially without Cedric Tillman. But at some point, we're going to have to recalibrate our sort of expectations and of what this team can be and belief of what this team is, because it just kind of keeps being good.
Vols are 5-0. They've beaten Florida, Pitt, LSU. They're now ranked 6th in the AP poll, which is the highest ranking in the AP poll for UT since 2005. That's back when Phil Fulmer was still the head coach. How has Josh Heupel done what Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, and Jeremy Pruitt could not do?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons for that, Gary. I think it really starts with culture, and I think that word's used a lot, and it's kind of a cliche, and I sort of roll my eyes when coaches come in and say it's all about culture. But with these guys, it kind of has been. You know, they keep good vibes. They know what they're doing. They know what they are and what they aren't. They play to the strengths they have. They try to minimize the weaknesses they have, and they've got a dynamic quarterback, and they've got a really fun offense that the SEC hasn't fully adjusted to yet. So I think it starts with a lot of things, but really it starts with sort of, you know, they're all kind of singing off the same hymn sheet in that program, and it's been a long time since that's happened.
Heupel, obviously at Central Florida, inherited a program that had gone undefeated. By the time he left there in his final year, UCF was 6-4. And I know that these stories are always more complicated than just stating records, but it had gone slightly the wrong direction since he took over. And yet he gets the Tennessee job anyway. Obviously, he's a popular hire now. Was he a popular hire on the day it was announced?
It's tough to say. That's a bit of a coin flip, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of people who are going to get in line pretty much with no matter who it is, until the guy goes out there and proves that he's not very good, they're going to be behind him. And then you got people who are naturally skeptical, and they're going to be cynical of no matter who you hire. I mean, you could resurrect Bear Bryant, they'd be like, oh, I don't know, he never beat Neyland. You know, I mean, you got those types. But then I think with most people, they were sort of up in the air about it. I think they were like, okay, at least this guy puts points on the board. And this situation being what it is right now with the investigation and with all the players leaving through the portal, getting anyone to come in here who's at least a potentially good head coach feels kind of like a win. So, I mean, I think more people were probably in wait-and-see mode than anything else, but it certainly wasn't like a unanimously praised hire. And I was kind of on the fence about it, too. I said, listen, I know where you are right now, so I get why you have to do this, but is this a sexy thing that's going to move everybody from day one? No, it's not, but here we are.
I'm talking to Wes Rucker from GoFalls247. He's on Twitter at WesRucker247. I believe I saw or read a press conference clip where Josh Heupel mentioned you by name, so he seems to have relationships with the media. How is he to deal with on a daily basis?
To be honest, if it's off the record, he's a really pleasant guy for the most part. He's, you know, this is a guy who's from rural South Dakota. He's from a small town, South Dakota. He went to a couple of small junior colleges, then to Norman, Oklahoma. It's not like this is Mr. Hollywood. You know, he's just kind of a regular old sort of Midwestern dude. If he came up and sat next to you, like at a bar or at, you know, a restaurant and sat there and had dinner with you, you wouldn't think anything of it. I mean, and neither would he. He's just that kind of a guy. On the record, I believe he is intentionally and maliciously boring. And I've made comments to this end, but they have gone unresponded to. There's been no adjustments made. I think he is going to let the football speak for itself. That's sort of what he wants. And the vibes they've got going right now, they're not changing a damn thing. So I think he's fine to deal with. I mean, I've never – the dude hadn't lied to me. The dude's been pleasant to deal with. He's accessible. You get what you need most of the time, but he's not going to go up there at a press conference and be exciting or be entertaining. He wants to let the football do the talking.
Obviously, you've been on this beat for a long time. You've really seen some ups and downs and wild twists and turns. What's it like covering what looks like? I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but certainly people are going to talk this way this weekend. If they upset Alabama, this might be a real national championship contender.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird because I always thought, and I said, Gary, for years, that if you just come to Tennessee and do the job right, you're going to be okay. You just have to come here and do the job and be good at it, and all of a sudden, all the things that this program has built in to succeed are going to succeed. You just have to go in there and do it right, and I think he's doing that. Now, this is at least 2 years before I thought it was possible. I didn't think last year's team, when he got here that first January and that first spring, he had a long snapper taking reps at linebacker in preseason. And that's where things were that first spring. It was the worst I've ever seen. I didn't think it could even be a bowl team. And then last year, the ball bounces one play differently, you know, in three games. There may be a 10-win team. It's kind of crazy. And now they are what they are. And, you know, there's still a talent gap between those top four teams and the rest of the college football. There's no question about it. Anyone who says otherwise is foolish. There are four or five teams who have more than everybody else. But the way Tennessee plays offense, they scare you no matter what, because they just put they're lethal offensively. And if they just do enough defensively, they can beat you. And so that is fascinating to me, because I just never thought this is the second year in a row that this team to this point has been infinitely better than I thought it would be. And I think at some point you have to stop calling that a coincidence.
Talking to Wes Rucker from GoVols247. He's on Twitter at WesRucker247. So the star of the team is Hendon Hooker, the quarterback who began his career at Virginia Tech. He's now in his second season with Tennessee, completing 70% of his passes. He's thrown 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions. What's been the key to him developing into, you know, a possible All-American/Heisman candidate?
Yeah, you know, I think since he got named Tennessee starting quarterback last year, Gary, I think he's accounted for more than 50 touchdowns and has two interceptions.
Wow.
I mean, that's just stupid. It's just stupid. The things he's doing, you should not be able to do, and he's doing them. And, you know, I still don't know what kind of an NFL prospect he is. Some people still have him, you know, barely top 10 for QBs in this class, and that's one thing. But in terms of what you want, and that's another topic for another day, but in terms of what you want a college quarterback to do in this system especially, you can't do it better than he's doing it. You can. And I think it helps a few things. One, I think of college kids as kids, especially the older I get. They just kind of feel like kids to me. Hendon Hooker's a 24-year-old man. That's a young man. I mean, he's almost getting cheaper rental cars now. You know what I mean? Like, his car insurance is about to go down. That's how old this kid is. And so I think his maturity, his level-headed approach to things, when your quarterback is your best player and when your quarterback's your hardest worker, that helps your program a lot. I mean, it's especially these days, football, look at the NFL too. you're not going to find many good teams that don't have really good quarterbacks. It's just not the way the game's played anymore. And he's really good. He's really, really good. He's dangerous with his arm, with his legs, and he's a really mature kid too. It's they've got a good situation there, and I think he fits this offense exactly like you'd want a quarterback to fit it.
So let's look ahead. 2:30 Central on Saturday, CBS. Number 3 Alabama undefeated at number 6 Tennessee, also undefeated. Do we expect Bryce Young to be at quarterback for the Crimson Tide?
I'm leaning toward yes, but I really don't know. It kind of depends. There's some mixed signals coming from down there, and you could call 50 people who would probably give you more insight into what's going on in Tuscaloosa than I could. I just know a little bit, but I do know a few people down there, and they are sort of up in the air about it, because you're talking about a really big NFL prospect too, and in a draft year, and I don't know with his shoulder how much they want to push it. I think maybe the family could be involved a little bit too. There's a lot of moving pieces there. I think the kid probably wants to play, but at the same time, Tennessee's defensive line is pretty good. Like Tennessee secondary, they got some problems there. The front four, they got a lot of guys there that are pretty good, and they're going to put some hits on you. And they've knocked a couple quarterbacks out of games already this year. So even if he does play, is he not 100%? Do you want to do that? There's probably a complicated answer there, but if you're going to put a gun to my head and say, is he going to play? I would say yes, but I wouldn't put a lot of money on it.
CBS stage in the afternoon. In the morning, it's ESPN's College Game Day live from Knoxville. This is going to be the biggest game inside Neyland Stadium since, you fill in the blank.
Maybe 1998 Arkansas.
Wow.
Maybe. I mean, that was what, number 1 versus number 6 or number 1 versus number whatever it was. That was a big one. I mean, there have been some great atmospheres. You've played some top 10 teams there. You had ranked Oklahoma maybe 6 years ago was a big one. Florida 6 years ago was a pretty big one. But, and Florida this year was a big one. But you're talking about two top 6 teams nationally. I mean, that's not happened in a game here at Neyland in a long time. I mean, I don't want to assume, but maybe 98 Arkansas in terms of the significance of it. And I'll tell you, even if Tennessee loses that game, you still got a chance to go to Georgia and play later in the year, and that's going to be an enormous game. And if Tennessee wins this game, if that somehow happens, my God, that Georgia game is going to be enormous. So, yeah, it's, Tennessee for years has just had to beat Florida, and then these games start coming a lot more interesting, and you're finding out this year why that's the case and why when Tennessee's pretty good, the college football complexion starts to change a little bit.
Wrapping up here with Wes Rucker from GoVols 247. Last thing before I let you go, it wasn't a perfect weekend in Knoxville, and that's because starting safety Jalen McCullough was arrested yesterday on a charge of aggravated felony assault. It's an odd story that features, I think I've got this right, a drunk man accidentally walking into an apartment Jordan McCullough was occupying, and a fight ensued. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I can tell you that it's weird, and I'm a little bit surprised looking at the incident report that it's a felony charge on there, to be honest with you. I mean, and I don't see any breaking and entering charges or trespassing charges for the guy who was allegedly intoxicated and walked into the wrong apartment. That and started the incident. So there's a lot of things there. Anytime a kid gets in trouble, I always say, listen, let's let some facts come out. This doesn't look good, but there's a system for a reason. Let's go there. But sometimes if we're being honest, we say that when we know, yeah, this kid did something really bad. I'm a little confused on this one, Gary. I really am. And especially because McCullough, is by all accounts and has been for 4 years, one of the best young men in that program. If I could make you a list, he would be probably in the bottom 5 of like guys I would expect to ever be involved with an incident like this. And I know he was with his girlfriend. They were at her apartment. Someone accidentally walks in drunkenly thinking he's at his friend's apartment, knocks on the door. Nobody answers. He just walks in. And then there's an incident, and then there's some talking, and then outside the apartment is where the punch was allegedly thrown, and then the guy falls down the stairs. So there's a lot going on there. I suspect there's something we don't know, but I think it's really telling, Gary, that Tennessee has not announced, they've not said he's indefinitely suspended while we're looking at this. They've not said anything. The only thing they've said is we're collecting facts. So there's not even a boilerplate he's suspended while we look into this. They haven't said that to my knowledge yet. So it's a weird situation, but knowing this kid, I think we might need to wait and hear more.
That is Wes Rucker from GoVols247. Make sure you're reading him there. Follow him on Twitter, at WesRucker247. Terrific stuff as always, buddy. I appreciate your time.
No problem, man. Hope you all are having a good one over there.
Yeah, you too. Take care. That's Wes Rucker from GoVols247. So the story, Bennett, this is middle of the afternoon yesterday. And it's like an apartment complex, you know, near a college campus, mm-hmm. where I'm assuming every building looks the same.
Yeah.
And so this guy.
I lived somewhere like that. Yep.
So did I. And I lived a few places like that. And this guy, you know, so Jalen McCullough's in the apartment with his girlfriend. They're doing whatever they're doing. And a guy just walks into the apartment. Now, who knows what he walked in on or didn't walk in on? I can't speak to that. But according to the incident report, the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was my friend's apartment. I didn't mean to walk in here. And at some point, Jalen McCullough and this guy start talking back and forth. Like, I'd like to think if that happened to me, like if I were in an apartment and somebody walked in and it was clearly an accident, I'd just be like, okay, well, now it's over. And I should get on with my day. But something led to them going back and forth verbally. And according to the incident report, at some point, the drunk guy who walked into the apartment said, hey, man, you don't have to be a D about it. And next thing you know, he's beat up.
Yeah.
A lot of lessons in there, maybe. First off, if a guy accidentally walks into your apartment, but then leaves quickly, maybe just let it go.
Yeah.
You say no, Big Ben Bennett.
I say that if you're like drunk dude and you like do that and then you see that the dude is like a, you know, clearly a football player, probably don't say you don't have to be a D about it.
Well, how about that?
I think
both sides did something here I would not have done.
Yeah.
If I'm Jalen McCullough, if the guy leaves without incident, I'm just letting them go. And if I'm the other guy, if Jalen McCullough's not letting it go, I'm just trying to just keep walking away. Because he's probably a football player, and I'm definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think both sides kind of messed this one up a little
bit. Yeah, if that's me, I'm probably, even in a drunk state, I think I would have the recognition to be like, hey, my bad.
Hey,
my
bad. And let's say Jalen McCullough is the aggressor after he walks in the park, and he's like, yo, you think you could just walk into my apartment? You know what I say? I'm sorry, man.
Let me get out of here.
I'm sorry. I apologize. You're doing what? I apologize. I'm sorry. This is on me. I messed up.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm going to run away right now. I would just got out of there. I think Jalen McCullough probably overreacted. I think the drunk guy probably should have just, even if Jalen McCullough's overreacting,
yep.
keep apologizing and keep it moving. But neither one of them handled it that way. And I would assume, because on one hand you might go, okay, the guy got beat up, but like he's the one that came in the apartment. But I assume what the law enforcement officials would tell you, and I'm just assuming here, I've never been a law enforcement official, thank God. I don't think I'd be good at it. I'm assuming they say, okay, yeah, but the guy was leaving, and he didn't do anything except have an accident, and he was leaving, and you chased him down and hit him and knocked him unconscious down a flight of stairs. You got to get arrested for that. This guy was no threat to you. I guess that's what this is rooted in.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It's fair enough.
Kind of a weird story. I think Wes Rucker is right. We'll wait to see what facts actually come out. But you mentioned you used to live in an apartment building like this. So did I. One night. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
So me, I had two roommates, three-bedroom apartment. And this was apartment complex. You know, these little cheap apartments where every building looks exactly the same. I was in college. And some new girls moved in literally across from us. So it was like you walk upstairs, some steps, and if you go right, that's our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go left, that's their apartment. Some girls, we met them on like the day they moved in, like a Saturday afternoon. On that Saturday night, I'm asleep in my bed, probably 2 a.m. And I hear somebody get in bed with me. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? It is one of the girls from across the street.
Oh my goodness.
She's drunk. Same thing.
She went to the wrong apartment.
She thought she was going to her apartment and her bed.
So what happened?
I can't tell you everything that happened.
I'm
just kidding. No, I was like startled. I was scared. I was like, who? And then once I was like, hey, yo, who? I didn't know who it was. You know, I didn't recognize this person. And then it sort of clicked on me. Oh, this is the girl from across the hall. And I was like, yo, you are not in the right place at all. And I think she was willing to stay, if I'm being honest with you. I think she was down to stay.
How about that?
I do think it was an accident that she ended up in my bedroom. But I think once she was there, I think she was down to stay.
Nice.
The gentleman I was.
Good, GP.
I escorted her back to her apartment.
Good on you.
Right. I'm not telling you I've always been a gentleman. I'm just telling you I was in that instant.
Yeah. At least you didn't punch her and throw her down the stairs.
I didn't.
Like,
never,
in this situation.
Never even
good.
Occurred to
yeah.
me. That's the thing. Never even occurred to me to punch her or knock her downstairs. I just escorted her back to the front door and said, you see that door 7 feet that way? That's the one you live in.
Yeah.
This is ours. Maybe the real lesson here is just we should all lock our doors.
Yeah. Like,
you know?
Yeah. If you live in an apartment complex and all the buildings look the same, I think you just need to lock your doors.
Maybe it's time to start locking your doors.
Yeah.
You know?
Easy to get confused, especially after a couple drinks.
You know, it really is.
Yeah.
It really
is. I mean,
dude,
some of the houses on my street look the same. My goodness. Like, I can see it easily being a confusing thing in an apartment complex.
Now, somebody accidentally, you can't accidentally walk into my house.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. My house doesn't look like the other ones around me. My house is a different color than the other ones around. You can't accident. I'm going to call that an accident. But an apartment complex, that could be an accident.
Yes.
Maybe we should just start locking our doors. We could avoid a lot of problems if we just lock our doors, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the real lesson. Major League Baseball playoffs down to 8 teams.
Yep. Got to talk about it, man.
The Rays got eliminated. The Cardinals got eliminated. Blue Jays got eliminated. And the New York Mets got eliminated. After getting one hit in an elimination game. They were so overwhelmed at the plate, they checked the pitcher's ears. They were so overwhelmed at the plate, they had to check the other pitcher's ears to make sure he wasn't doing something in violation of the rules. That was a rough Sunday night, Bennett. It was a rough weekend. You would think after watching you get swept by the Braves the weekend prior, and that's the worst weekend. You would think they can't possibly have another worst weekend so quickly. Yes, you can. If you root for the wrong team. We'll talk baseball next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now okay, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
New Instant Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains, 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it is so smooth you can drink it straight. And I promise you, it is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, so that I'll always have it close by when the Mets can't get more than one hit in an elimination game. Wouldn't make any sense to spend extra money on any other brand. New Amsterdam Vodka is the best value you're going to be able to find when you are looking for a quality vodka to enjoy. You like flavored vodkas? They make a bunch of them as well. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, redberry, peach, pineapple, coconut, passion fruit. And don't forget about the wild card cans. Hard lemonade, hard tea, hard punch. In a can, ready to go. As soon as you pop the top, you can find them in your local liquor stores. Next time you're in a bar or a restaurant, please ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com. Jeff Cock is going to be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So much for hosting three games if you need them in your home stadium in the wild card round being a massive advantage, because it didn't really play out like that over the weekend. There were four wild card series that were played Friday and Saturday, and one was also played on Sunday. And the road teams advanced in three of the four. The only home team that was able to get out of this, Cleveland, with a couple of wins over the Tampa Bay Rays, including a 1-0 victory in 15 innings on Saturday. I know most people on Saturday, particularly in this part of the country, are going to be wrapped up in college football stuff, and that makes perfect sense to me. But boy, if you had any room in your television viewing for baseball on Saturday, it was wild. It was 0-0 into 15. You had two games in the American League on Saturday. One was 0-0 heading into the 15th, and the other was that crazy Mariners-Blue Jays game where the Blue Jays were up 8-1 at home and lost 10-9. What?
It's kind of satisfying.
You hate Toronto.
Yeah, I don't like the Blue Jays. I like Toronto as a city.
I just love that on the same day in the playoffs, you can have a game 0-0 in the 15th and then another game where a team is overcoming an 8-1 deficit. That's two very different types of baseball games. Yeah. Two very different types of baseball games. And baseball is different from like basketball or football in the sense that, you know, an NBA game played in the 70s is horrific. That Thursday night football game we just watched where there were no touchdowns.
Oh, like the worst ever.
Horrific. 0-0 baseball is awesome.
It's intense.
It's intense.
Yeah.
I love 0-0 baseball. And so that was a wild game on Saturday. Mariners Blue Jays a wild game on Saturday. Cardinals also lost for the second straight day on Saturday 2-0. They got Aaron Nola'd, so they were eliminated. And then the Mets won on Saturday night 7-3 behind Jacob DeGrom to set up a winner moves on, loser is done game last night in primetime. And Big Bet Bennett, I spent all day being excited about this, and then very quickly, my excitement was ripped away.
Yeah, I was going to text you, but I was like, everybody's probably texting him. Like, my team won, too, yesterday. So,
yeah, I apologize.
I didn't want to pile on.
I apologize for anybody's text messages I didn't return or Instagram message or Facebook message. But, like, I'm not trying to text when I'm in the middle of a game.
Yep.
Especially when it's not going the right way. I want to sit there and sulk by myself.
You know, you were right, though, I guess it was Thursday when we talked about it. Like, the Mets needed to win Friday with Scherzer so you can save.
And he got lit up.
So you can save DeGrom for Sunday.
They just hit him and hit him and hit him, gave up four home runs. It was literally the worst start of Max Scherzer's postseason career. First ballot Hall of Famers, won multiple Cy Youngs, has never had a worse start than the one he had on Friday night. Then DeGrom comes back Saturday. Isn't great, but like was good enough for them to win. And then last night, it was just 2-0 in the second, 3-0 in the fourth, 4-0 in the fifth. And it was just like nothing crazy. It was walk, stolen base, timely base hit. Now it's 2-0. Walk. Stolen base, timely hit. Now it's 2-0. Now it's 4-0. And with the way Joe Musgrove was dealing, it became pretty obvious pretty quickly. Well, this is it.
Yeah.
That's the season. So Mets ultimately lose 6-0. Got desperate, went out there and had the umps check everything on Joe Musgrove.
I saw that.
But it wasn't without some data that suggested something's not right here. I don't know if you saw all this, but his spin rate on every pitch he throws was wildly greater than it's been on average this season. Everything was spinning in ways that suggested this guy's up to something. But they checked him out, and they couldn't find anything.
Isn't that interesting? Like, I wonder where that comes from. Like, is that the Mets dugout being like,
yes,
hey, they like getting?
Well, it's not their dugout as much as it. They've got a whole analytics department that's back there watching this stuff in real time, and they're like, yo, his spin rates are off the charts right now. This is not these are not his normal spin rates. We might need to. I think mostly it was desperate, but I think there was some data there that suggested maybe he is up to something. And like, we're already down 4-0, so let's go look at it.
Yeah.
Like, what if they throw this guy out of the game? Then where does that lead us? So I don't mind them taking a shot on it, but, you know, it's almost like you get pulled over the interstate, they search your car, and they don't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did to Musgrove. They searched his car and his ears, but they didn't find anything. The Mets had finished with one hit, and that is a fact that makes them the first team in Major League Baseball history in a winner-take-all game to have just one hit.
Yikes, man.
Why are they always doing things bad that nobody's ever done before?
I don't know. It's one of those things, too, is like it kind of reminded me, it's a different scale because there's so many less games, but like that Titans playoff game this past year against the Bengals, like it's like number one seed in the AFC. You've had such an unbelievable regular season, and then you just choke.
They won 101 games.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
They shouldn't have even been playing the stupid Padres.
Right.
If they'd have beat the Braves one time last weekend, they wouldn't have been playing the Padres. Instead, they get up into a three-game series against the Padres, and they lose it. Now the season's over. And now Jacob DeGrom's a free agent. Chris Bassett's a free agent. Brandon Nimmo's a free agent. Edwin Diaz is a free agent.
But y'all will pay some people.
There's some reporting that says DeGrom don't want to be there anymore.
What?
Breaks my heart.
Where the hell's he going to go?
Dodgers.
Yeah, that's where everybody goes.
Dodgers.
Yeah, Dodgers.
Could be the Padres.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe the stupid Atlanta Braves.
Good luck, man.
They did another one of those Braves deal this morning. They got Spencer Strider. Another, hey, rookie, we'll give you a whole bunch of guaranteed money. Your annual average value is going to be crap. But, like, here's a whole bunch of money. Some other franchises are going to start trying to replicate what the Braves are doing.
Yeah.
They lock up all these young guys. It's brilliant. I'm not hating. It's smart. If you can get them to take the money, it's a brilliant way to operate.
Final thoughts?
Well, people have asked me now. I got people tweeting me saying, hey, why don't you root for the Mariners now? Why don't you root for the Braves now because of Austin Riley? I've decided who I'm rooting for now.
Who?
Padres.
I like the Padres. I like Machado. He's one of my favorite players going back to the Orioles days.
I like Juan Soto. I like Manny Machado. You know what I like more than any of it? It would be an example. Because I don't know that it came down to this, but at the trade deadline, the Mets did basically nothing. And the Padres went for it.
They did, yep.
They went out and got Juan Soto, Josh Bell, Josh Hader. They went for it. And I like seeing teams that go out and go for it get rewarded for it. So I don't get caught up in who eliminated the Mets. I can like the Padres, even though they eliminated the Mets. So now I'm going to, if I could pick my World Series champion, I'd like it to be San Diego. And for them to do it without having Tatis at all, that'd be pretty something. Imagine you come back next year as the reigning World Series champs and you add Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
They could do that. Heavy underdogs against the Dodgers for understandable reasons. But the Padres move on, and that means we will have four new series starting tomorrow. Phillies Braves, Mariners, Astros, Guardians, Yankees, and in primetime tomorrow night, Padres, Dodgers.
Story number two.
Draymond Green spoke this weekend for the first time about his incident with Jordan Poole and said it was his fault. He was wrong. And said when he watched the tape, it looked a lot worse than he remembered it being. He said most of the right stuff.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.